cliffcentral.com.
Hot stuff.
As Mabali comes walking through the door.
Oh, Shem.
With a slight swagger in the hips.
Okay, now.
Right, so we've got two new voices in the studio. This one you might remember. Gareth, hi. Hello, morning.
Hey, hello. Hey, I've forgotten what you guys sounded like, too. This is nice.
Yeah.
Gareth, C.S. Ngoni Finn is not here today. And Mabali and I have literally been worked to the bone. So I thought we'd bring another guy in to talk news. Roman Kabanak is here.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning.
Well, you know, he's really smart, this guy. I mean, we've been talking about some things. I thought we'd bring it up. But more importantly, let's talk about you. You were at the Doug Stanhope comedy show just now.
Oh, this guy. You know, he is, you know, I've described him to someone else as George Carlin's more cynical, retarded, drunk grandson.
Spot
he
on.
He opened his act tonight, and he was just hosting the show. He was hosting three other comedians. He opens his show by talking about how he fights with Indian call center agents. And he always ends the call with, "I hope you get gang raped." And then people go, "Oh my God." And then he goes, "No, but gang rape is in the culture in India."
Oh God.
Which they find even more offensive. Then he goes, "But you know, it's because Indian men are so weak that they can't rape on their own. That it needs to be a lot of them."
Wow.
And then, I mean, just when you think he hasn't gone far enough, he goes, "Well, you know, because Indian men are like the women of men. If there weren't women, we'd have to fuck Indian men."
But now,
like, they're the most effeminate of all men. He's out of control, and he's drunk the whole time, and high. I mean, he's on Adderall. He's on all kinds of things. He says, "Welcome to my show, where I'm trying to find a balance between the Adderall and the vodka that they've watered down backstage." He's great. He's just ungovernable.
But this is a guy who famously started many of his shows saying that this show is very much like war. We're all starting together, but some of you won't make the end of it.
Right, correct. No, I love the guy, and he's every bit as messed up as I thought he would be, and I just loved it. He came out between two of the comics he introduced, and he just said, "I got nothing." He said, "I got nothing. You people are sitting there with your lanyards. You all look like you're here for some kind of conference. You're a boring bunch of assholes, and I don't have anything to say to you." And he just went straight backstage. I just loved him. I loved him. I think he's so real.
Yeah, completely. But I mean, how much longer do you reckon that guy's got?
Well, I thought he would be dead by now, so I was thrilled to see him alive. I mean, you know, I really was planning on never seeing Doug Stanhope live, so it was a real bonus. I said to someone today, I've been very lucky in my life. I've got to see a lot of the people. If I think I want to meet someone, I end up meeting them. There aren't a lot of people I still want to meet. I'm thrilled. I mean, what a lucky guy I am.
So we missed you in the last couple of days, but who else have you been meeting then, as per this comment?
Today. Do you ever watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Love that show.
Yes, that's a good show.
Okay, you know, Rosa.
Yeah, she's that sort of feisty Latino who doesn't like anyone.
Right. Well, she, and everybody's terrified of her, which is great.
I met Stephanie, I forget, I'll get her surname now. But she's the actress. She plays Rosa, right? And she's awesome. And I sat down with her for about 10 minutes and we had a little interview, which I'll play for you next week when I'm back. But she was cool. I got to interview her at the Driscoll Hotel. And I went to meet the guys from if you are on Twitter or you're on Instagram and you follow Fuck Jerry, you know who I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yeah. It's a well-known sort of – they create memes. They're probably the most successful meme creators in the world. And they did a little presentation on like doing funny stuff, which was great because, you know, that's the business we're in. We're in content creation and making memes, and it was just so apt. So that was something I quite enjoyed doing. And yeah, we've had a very, very busy, very interesting couple of days. In fact, I think we've ticked more boxes than I imagined we would. So by the time I get back to South Africa, I'm going to be ready. You know, you never stay on these trips. It's really important that you you get in and you enjoy it and you fill up every day and you get out as quickly as you can.
Oh, okay. Sorry. All right. Gareth, that's if you make it back home, because seemingly there's a storm there by the name of Stella who's just having a good old time.
I know. And she's clogging up New York, and I'm worried that my plane will be delayed out of New York, which I really hope isn't going to happen, because I don't want to be stuck in an airport for an extra cup. As it is, tomorrow we've got like an 8-hour layover, so that's going to be a nightmare. But you know,
so today
can't always have everything.
So the day coming up now. So you're about to go to bed.
It's Wednesday at 10:10 here.
So you've got your final day ahead of you now, coming up. Or is that it?
No. It's over. We're getting tomorrow morning first thing.
Gotcha.
Which is in 5 hours. What's interesting is that they also kicked over into daylight savings time this week, which is interesting because it's the dumbest idea in the world. I mean, it's so stupid. I don't know why they do it. This is supposedly the first world. They're meant to be smart. These people are morons. Daylight savings time is not necessary. It's a dumb idea. It's dumb. You don't need to add an hour or take away an hour from the clock because the sun goes up earlier or late. Just deal with the sun going. We don't do it. Why do they do that?
They should go to places like Sweden, where sometimes they're without the sun for 6 months of the year.
Exactly. Isn't it stupid? Right? It's stupid.
Well, I mean, it sounds stupid to us because it's not something that we ever have to think about. But, you know, for them, this was a solution to something. I don't know.
Hey, update me on what's going on at home. I heard Des Van Rooyen fucked up a number again in Parliament. Is that true?
I mean, Des Van Rooyen is not really making all the headlines this week, Gareth. It's more like, you know, Minister Bathabile Dlamini. The other day, the ANC Youth League in the Free State said that they want Claudi Motsoeneng to become an MP next. You know, so Des, who cares about Des Van Rooyen ever since he became the weekend special finance minister? Nobody cares about Des.
From your mouth to God's ears, because I saw a thing on Facebook because someone put up a video of him. He read the number wrong. He read a number and then said he was trying to say 5,500 or something, and he ended up saying 5,500,000,000. He's just a moron. I mean, there's so many morons. What's going on in our country? Why do we have such dumb people? I watch the TV here, and everybody's going on about Trump and everything, but no one is doing really, really dumb shit like we do at home.
Yeah,
I mean, they must look at us and think. They must look at us and think this is how primitive man behaved. You know, dragging his knuckles on the ground, and like, who doesn't sort out a system to pay 17 million people their welfare money? Who is so stupid and derelict of duty and so willing to throw their country into disarray that this Bathabile Dlamini is even – that we even should know her name? She should be selling, I don't know, foam cups at a Chinese store, 5-rand store. You know those ones? And when you get to the counter, she should be saying that, "Do you want a bag with that?" That's what she's good for. She's no good as a minister. She's proven it, right?
Well, pretty much.
Well, now you've just insulted some hardworking woman who sells 5-rand cups
true.
At a Chinese store.
Sorry.
I mean, that's just uncalled for, Gareth.
I'm sorry. Yeah. That's correct. Mrs. Lahon at the Chinese store, I take it back. You've always been good to me.
Yeah, so there's that. There's obviously the whole bungling of that Commonwealth Games bid. I'm sure.
What happened there, Ben? I was hoping you'd be able to, you know, kind of explain that to me. I don't understand it.
Well, Gareth, I kind of started off the show with a 25-minute rant about that, so probably best to get the podcast. I've got clips. I've got things.
I'll listen. It is
quite a story, it must be said. But again, it's another missed opportunity where we could have done something great, but ultimately the base mediocre is the result.
I heard you guys have done some really, really cool stuff while I've been away. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, you know, Gareth,
who's your source?
Yeah, who's your source?
There are people here who've been listening to you.
Oh, okay.
Well, we've had some very interesting messages that have basically been tying us from story to story. Sia's been on form. He's away for 2 days now. He's changing lives in Cape Town.
Yeah, our young Sia.
What is that all about?
Well, he was all like, oh, guys, I'm not going to be on the show Wednesday and Thursday. And he was all like, very casual about it. So, you know, we had a little informal HR meeting on the show yesterday. And he then provided information that he is changing lives without us even knowing, giving hope to those without hope.
What the hell is that all about?
No, well, apparently he's helping underprivileged children. And because he loves Oprah, he's going to cry a lot and fill up all the dams in Cape Town.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, I've heard they've finally got a bit of rain in Cape Town. So mazel tov. I mean, that's
it's because
great.
Sia's going there. Do you not know Sia is the maker of rain and he's the bringer of joy?
Yeah, Sia's got a lot more power than we give him credit for.
Wait, here we go. There's Van Ryan mistaking 287,000 for 200. He says 287,000 million. What an idiot! And Floyd Shivambu even said, "Is this what was supposed to be the Minister of Finance?"
Yeah, well, guys, just looking through the messages, we've neglected this in the last sort of half an hour. Dino says, dumb fucking daylight savings bullshit. I hate it. I live in Cyprus and I'm robbed of an extra hour of sleep when this comes time. When this comes into time effect. So Dino.
Well, thanks, Ben. You made him sound like he can't write.
It's not my fault he can't. When this comes, I time effect.
Well, we've met some really cool people. I met a Brazilian girl the other night. Remember I told you about her?
Yeah.
And she came up with us last night again. Jeez, we had a big night last night. Wow. That's why you couldn't get hold of me. We were in talks right up to about 8-9 o'clock last night, and then we went out for dinner, and that went on. I met the rugby players, Pietri Vandenberg. I met the coach of the Austin Huns.
That's a very interesting name. Lofi Iloff.
Yeah, Lofi Iloff used to be the coach of the Golden Knights.
Yeah, he's quite a character, that Lofi, huh?
He's very cool. I like him. I like him. He made me laugh. And some other South Africans we met along the way. I was meant to meet Jesse Clegg last night, but he couldn't. He only arrived at midnight. So it's been a little bit crazy, but I'm very excited to come home, and I've got lots of good stories to tell you and lots of interesting things. I don't know if you've seen all the stuff I've been posting on Instagram, all the different machines, all the different inventions, all the different technologies that we're exploring here. It's just phenomenal.
It really does look like it. So this is going to become an annual thing now in your life.
I don't know that I need to come every year, but I'll tell you, this year has been just the best ever in terms of everything. The trade show, the speakers. I mean, Chris Sacker, Mark Cuban. These are two of the biggest venture capitalists in the world. Ray Kurzweil, who I got to hear. I was slightly disappointed. He had his daughter there. She launched some graphic novels she's doing. So it was kind of his gesture to her, very sweet that he did this for his daughter. But she's just unexceptional in every way. She really is just like the most totally unexceptional human being in the world. If Ray Kurzweil wasn't her father, you would never know who she was. You'd never hear of her. And this graphic novel, her, is bullshit. It's like it could have been written by a kid.
Well, how old is she?
She's 30-something, 40, 30-something easily. She should be ashamed that she's done this to her father. Couldn't she become a nurse or something like useful to the world?
So basically it got mixed reviews then.
I'm your only review point, so take my word for it. It's bullshit. You don't ever need to buy any book by Amy Kurzweil, all right? Okay. I'll save you the money.
Noted.
There we go. That's my public service for the day. I watched for the first time today. I turned on a TV. I haven't turned on a TV since before I left for America, and it's been great. I haven't watched a single like live TV thing. And then I turned on the TV today, and I got to see in Texas they're doing this whole thing with the bathrooms. Ramon will know about this. They are deciding what bathroom which people can use.
What do you mean? There's what, unisex or just?
No, if you are a man, you are only allowed to – well, if you want to use the male bathroom, you have to be a man on your birth certificate.
Okay.
In other words, if your ID says you're a man, you can't go into the women's bathroom. And if your ID says you're a woman, you can't go into the men's bathroom. I don't care what you gender identify as if you're a Texan. That's the rule.
Okay.
I think it passed today. So you can say I identify as an attack helicopter, but you have to use the male bathroom if you've got a penis and you were born a male.
Let me ask this question. So there are establishments, I'm assuming, everywhere in the world where you will encounter a unisex bathroom, right? In those instances, seemingly men and women don't have an issue sharing the same space. So why is this bathroom thing being made into a more complicated thing than it actually is, seeing as how when you encounter a unisex bathroom, all of a sudden you're okay with that. You're like, oh, okay, I'll use it.
But it's even easier. I mean, everybody's house has a unisex bathroom in it.
Yeah, so why has this become such a big thing?
I don't think in Roman's house there is a unisex bathroom. You've got three, don't you?
Three bathrooms, one for me, one for my wife, and one for the dogs, of course. Where else must they go? Outside, like savages.
You don't have the same bathroom, you and your wife?
No.
Is that the key? Because I've heard this before. Is that the key to a happy marriage?
No, tolerance is. But separate bathrooms also help, I suppose.
I also have separate bathrooms. I mean, I've got three toilets where I live. So I use the downstairs one. Daniela's got the very nice one. And then the one at the top's kind of for guests.
That's good.
I don't allow any of my conquests to use the bathroom when they come over.
Of course not. They've got that.
I keep them in the basement, and they must just.
They must make a plan
until the next morning when I release them. I don't even feed them.
Don't even lie. You give them a 2-liter empty Coke bottle.
Happy in that. But it's you know why people say it's a recipe for a really healthy marriage is because men are disgusting. And no woman should be subjected to a man.
Speak for yourself, Cliff.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm actually quite well groomed, thank you.
Me too.
Come on, I don't care. Listen, I don't care what you two do. My buddy, you know what I'm talking about. And fart and they clear their throats and they spit. They're fucking gross. It's disgusting. Men are disgusting. We leave pubic hairs on the urinals. It's just everything about a male body. Ben, you've used the male bathroom at Cliff Central. You know what I'm
saying. No, but that's a horrible example. I mean, that is.
No, but that's the way it is.
Men are disgusting. And we take big, disgusting, fat, ugly, like large turds. And it's just gross. Like, women don't do that. I don't even. I never want to be so comfortable around someone that I can walk in while they're taking a shit and brush my teeth. And I think in a marriage, if you've ever got to that stage where you're brushing your teeth and your wife is taking a shit, it's just the romance is gone. And like, you can't tell me you care about each other anymore the way you used to. When there was still a bit of mystery.
No,
where she's busy like grimacing as she's pushing one out and you're busy with your molars and you're digging around in there with a dental floss. Come on.
It's a very good point. Like, you know, I remember once Daniela had this insane migraine, but it was so bad. The only way she could alleviate any sort of tension is she had to try and make herself throw up. And she's like, I don't want you to see me doing this, okay? But she's in agony, right. Like she's about to die. And I was like, you know what? Right. Like, puking actually means nothing to me, because when you're young, you puke because you don't know how to drink properly. And if you're going to throw up for medical reasons, go ahead. But don't you dare go toilet in front of me. And like, it's a universal rule, I believe. It's just
I'm going to make a movie. I've decided on this trip that because I want to make a huge amount of money, and then you'll never hear from me again. That's my plan.
Okay.
You'll never have to listen to my voice ever again. You'll never have to see me on television. I'm going to shut down. By the way, I've decided on this trip. Facebook is finished. I'm going to wean myself off it. I've got a plan for the next 3 months, and I'm off Facebook within 3 months. Off.
Why?
I don't exist on Facebook. I'm getting out of it.
Why?
Because I think it's evil. I think it's insidious. I think they're gathering information about all of us. I think I don't trust Mark Zuckerberg as far as I could throw him. Come on, Roman, stand up for me here. You know you agree.
Well, on Facebook, I just share, you know, 50 sentiments.
Did they get
sentiments.
You to come in this morning? You're sitting there with a mouthful of teeth. Come on, say something, for fuck's sake.
Gareth, when you on, you like take over the show, which is great. I'm letting you do your own show. But for what? But you just share like pithy shits on Facebook anyway. It's not worth stealing, is it?
Yeah, I don't look. I've never put private information on Facebook.
Yeah, but Gareth, now you often say this. Like whenever we get big celebrity guests, and you always go, "Oh, I'm so over Twitter. I'm going to quit that." But like, are you like it's something that I always laugh it off because social media is part of business nowadays. I don't know if you notice this, but we need to promote ourselves on social media.
But Ben, I want to make a lot of money so I can get off of social media, and then I don't have to use it for business. Here's the deal. Like at the moment, this is great because I can use Twitter and Instagram. I can share these amazing things that I'm seeing. And people who aren't at South by Southwest can get, you know, like a distilled, aggregated version of it from me. And if you like it, you can follow me and you can pass on the word. And, you know, we can all share in this amazing stuff. You don't have to pay the money to get here and have the membership and have the ticket and all that stuff. So I'll do the work for you. That's cool. But I want to make a move, and this is what I've thought about. Now, I've thought about this for quite a lot of time, but I haven't got the screenplay down yet.
Okay.
It's going to be called How to Take a Shit in Public.
All right.
And it's going to be all about – no, but it's going to be all about these things that people don't want to talk about, that we all can relate to. Like you know what happens. If you go on holiday with Daniela.
Yes. Ben,
and the two of you are on holiday and you're staying in the same hotel room and you have the one bathroom.
Yeah.
And she needs to, because you're away for like 5 to 7 days, let's say. She needs to use the loo. She needs to take a shit. She's not going to do it when you're around. She'll probably go downstairs to the lobby. This is what girls don't tell you. She'll go down. Mavs, you come on. You can back me up on this. She'll go down to the lobby or she'll say, I just got to pop out and go and, I don't know, go and buy something at the, you know, some store or whatever. She'll use the store or the gym or whatever, so she doesn't have to, you know, use the hotel bathroom that you're also going to use. Well, girls do this.
Yeah,
you don't even know this.
This is what I was going to say earlier when you said that men are disgusting. I think men and women are disgusting just purely on the fact that when the human body gets rid of waste, it is a revolting process. It doesn't matter what's it doesn't matter what gender
it is. The sound, the smell,
right.
the sight of it, it's all just absolutely revolting.
So the biggest difference between men and women is that, you know, men, they'll just go about their business because they don't care. But, you know, women, I mean, we always caring about the dumbest shit. So we will deliberately try and hide the fact that we also fart or we also poo.
Well,
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what we're thinking we're, you know, achieving by hiding these things. But yeah, that's it. That's exactly what girls do.
Oh, but I love you. I love you for hiding that. I don't want to. That stuff, we don't need to share everything.
Yeah, but Gareth, you also do have a slightly alarming fascination with defecation and farting.
No, I don't.
Something you
I
need
really
to also
don't.
Get over.
You do, though.
You do.
You do.
No, that's not true. I find that the whole thing very funny, but I personally find it completely off-putting.
Gareth, in the first 18 months of this show, every single day had fart clips.
Mm.
Every single day had fart clips.
You know why that is. That's because people laugh at that stuff. It's the easiest thing to laugh at because it's such a horrible sound.
Well, Michelle says that at the aquarium, she says, I hate to disappoint you guys, but girls are vile too. There are times I've got into the loo here at work after a school visit. Oh.
That's what I'm saying. Both men and women are disgusting because that's the human body for you.
Anyway, let's get out of the arsehole here for a second.
I woke up early, came to talk about the news, and now we're talking about shit.
Yeah, this is how it goes.
We had a very long chat on Monday about arseholes and what you can fit in there for, you know, crime purposes.
Yeah, for smuggling purposes.
And that was a good 20 minutes. I think we should probably move on.
All right, let's go. Well, tell me what's happening on your side.
Well, listen, if you are ever going to receive a qualification in something that nobody else is qualified in, what kind of thing would you like to be qualified in? Because there's a 27-year-old woman from Cape Town who's just gotten a doctorate for something you wouldn't even imagine.
Sunset enhancing.
Sunset enhancing.
Yeah.
What? Filters on Instagram.
Okay. Gareth?
Hmm.
Dog grooming. Dog grooming.
Dog grooming. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not thinking. I'm not able to think of things that are not useful.
Cappuccino frothing.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go. That's a good one.
So Maxine Jones, 27 years old from Cape Town, will receive her doctorate in food science from Stellenbosch University, making her the first person with a PhD based exclusively on scientific research into making consistently good quality biltong.
Yo, she is.
She has a PhD in making biltong, and she's the first person.
Can you imagine how easy it will be for this chick to get married in Stellenbosch? She's got a PhD in biltong.
She was supervised by Professor Lo Hoffman, who is with the South African Research Chair in Meat Science. I didn't even know that these people existed.
Meat science,
guys.
Wow, that's incredible.
She said that she microanalyzed every aspect of the process of drying procedures, that is, everything from temperature to humidity, water activity, air movement. She said that she also looked at the presence of different yeasts, molds, and even bacteria that are often found on biltong and then play a role in its shelf life. It is an actual science.
Of course it is. Yeah. This is very important. You know the difference between great biltong. I've brought you some of that really, really great biltong from the place I get it from.
Yes, that's the good stuff.
Tell me that is not the best. I mean, it's just perfect. Now, any other biltong to me is like, it's disgusting.
Oh, it's just dry meat.
By comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like might as well be. It could have been lying in the road for all I know by comparison, but the good stuff is just extraordinary. And that is what I live for. I would pay money to know how to make perfect biltong.
Well, or you could just, invite Maxine over and maybe she'd be willing to share. I mean, she says that it is an actual science. And in her thesis, she's proposed that South Africa's Department of Agriculture, Forestries and Fisheries introduce biltong guidelines similar to those for other forms of processed meat.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm in favor. Yes, I like this. This Maxine is a woman after my own heart.
And she's just 27, hey?
Jeepers, oh, wow.
Is she hot? Do you have a picture of her?
Gareth, she's a biltong scientist. She doesn't need to be hot. She could look like the back of a horse. I reckon she's got a full dance card in Stellenbosch right now.
She's got a PhD, Gareth. Like, what more do you want?
No. I'm very superficial. You of all people should know this. Come on, you worked with me how long? Okay, come on.
We've got to actually try find this woman and chat to her. This sounds fascinating.
Yeah, we could do that. She's in Cape Town.
Let's get her name.
Get her on the line.
Try get her on the line.
Get her on the show. That'll be a good idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. But I mean, is this now going to be offered as like, I'd like to know that if you enroll in Stellenbosch, right, and architecture's full up for this year and that kind of stuff, do they go, oh, well, there's biltong PhDing as well?
No, they'll just expand it. A cook sister PhD or a Bubuati PhD. Or
that's actually so true.
Chortle beef, I don't know. You can make PhDs out of anything these days.
Can you imagine you can also get a PhD in boerewors? Because think about boerewors, right?
Boerewors stuffing.
What goes into it? Because you've got the texture of that skin, which is because it's basically, I don't know if you've seen sausages being made, but it's just like it's like just shoving meat into a condom. It's rough as all hell. But there's like these brewers markets and seminars and sessions around the country. I think some of those some of the supermarket brands. Didn't Nathaniel do a brewery search, or was that just his own personal endeavors?
No, Nathaniel. No.
I mean, that
Nathaniel
was
Nathaniel is very interested in the right brewers. Very important that you get the right kind of brewers.
See, I've already got a message from Vaynant. I will marry her on the spot.
Like, see? That's great. What a great field of study. Now, I often mock these pseudo intellectual pursuits that people take on and they expect to be taken seriously because you're you've got a gender studies degree, or you've studied massage therapy and that kind of thing. I take a lot of this very, very lightly, but this is a very important field of research. Good for her. She's terrific. I wish her well.
How much are we willing to bet that when Feed Must Fall comes around this year, this will be a prime reason why they'll be protesting?
I think they will. By the way, they've gone quiet, haven't they? I mean, isn't it the start of the academic year?
We're already in March. They started
last month, I think.
Last month already.
Yeah, sounds all smooth.
Not a peep. Everything seems to be going well.
Hey, listen, Trevor Noah has just gotten a taste of what it really means to be playing in the big leagues with the big dogs, right? Because every now and again, the really big stars get put through this kind of treatment. So what's happened is that Trevor Noah has died. He has been killed by one of the news fake news websites. The site in question is news.statestv.com, who revealed in breaking news that South African impressionist and most influential comic and actor Trevor Noah has died after being injured in a car accident last night. A reliable source discloses his vehicle hit a patch of water outside Potchefstroom, Nogal. He died here at home.
States. Those roads around Potchefstroom are treacherous.
And the car aquaplaned and hit a light stand. Noah sustained internal injuries and died at the spot. Trevor Noah, 33, was a South African comedian, writer, producer, actor, media critic, and television host. Guys, is Trevor an actor? Is he an actor?
Sure, why not? I mean, if you can get on stage, you can act. Acting's not hard.
Sure.
You just read lines and mingle.
Yeah. Noah had hosted The Daily Show, a late-night television talk show on Comedy Central since 28 September 2015. And it goes on and on and on and on. But yes.
I agree with one sentence. He used to be a comedian. Have you seen his latest Netflix show? Well, it's on Netflix now. It is god-awful. It is so bad.
Really?
It is so bad. It's the same sort of accents and the differences between races and the stereotypes and why they're wrong. It is so boring. It's like being lectured in a BA course instead of actually being a stand-up show.
But is this purely for the South African market, or is this something he's doing?
This was in America. And he puts
that's terrible.
And he puts on that stupid American accent. It is so bad. Don't even bother.
But is it not? He can still do that because it's still relatively new in that market. I mean, obviously, we've seen and heard this routine quite a lot.
One skit is, I really wanted to come to New York, and then when you cross the streets and a car almost bumps you, you're like, "Hey, I'm walking here," and then you smack the hood of the car. That a whole joke for 20 minutes about that. It is so awful.
Just sounds so cringe.
Well, you're probably in the minority, because seemingly the American audience are warming up to Trevor on The Daily Show. Apparently, Gareth, his ratings are starting to go up. So those Americans...
I'm very happy.
Yeah, those Americans seem to be warming up to him, liking him a little bit more.
Well, that's because he's sober. And he's kind of relatively new, unlike the rest of those guys.
Who is not sober, Ben?
Look at his competition.
Name and shame.
Yeah, Ben. What are you inferring, yeah. Ben?
Who is not sober on late night television?
Exactly. Who? Late night TV.
You've become so superior since you don't get drunk anymore.
Well, John Oliver's on cocaine, that's for sure.
Yeah.
James Corden is drunk.
Well,
all the time.
Yeah. He has to be. He's from England.
He eats a lot.
Colbert's schizophrenic. And Trevor's just very boring.
And Fallon actually has a drip. I don't know if you've seen show recently, but there's a drip under a desk. It goes straight into his arm.
I mean, Fallon is such a drunkard. How he stays standing up.
Exactly.
For half of that monologue is just unbelievable.
So Trevor just stays in the game. The same with comedians. I mean, Gareth just saw a guy now who doesn't know his arse from his elbow. He's really good. But people want, in the absence of Obama, they want a clean-cut role model.
Well, Trevor's still relatively new, so maybe his strategy is to stay sober initially, and then he will start going overboard with the drinking and the drugs. I mean, he's already successful, so he technically could start... drinking and just snorting cocaine or whatever he wants.
But the only reason why he's popular now is whenever there's a Republican in the White House, these late night shows become far more popular because they have the same, demographics as people who vote for the Democrats. So people will always try, it's like sort of an echo chamber anyway. So they speak to Trevor, they see Trevor Noah and he mocks Trump and it's very funny.
Yeah.
But it's increasing like 9%. It's not like a massive increase because it's good.
But he also got who was that guy before him?
John Stewart?
I mean, when John Stewart gives you a nod.
Well, he has to because it's his successor. This guy replaced him. He's complete shit.
He kind of gave Trevor a good start. Like, here, I approve this guy.
I don't think Trevor really cares whether we approve of him or not.
He doesn't give a shit. Absolutely doesn't give a shit. He's doing well.
And I'm proud of him. I think it's awesome. Long may he last, and well may he do. That's all I have to say about Trevor. And I have I have no nasty experiences with the guy. Every time I ever met him, every time we ever had a conversation, he'd always been charming and very hardworking and very, very dedicated to success. And he's achieved it. I mean, he's done it more than any other entertainer to come out of South Africa, except maybe Charlize Theron, and she's in movies. So, I mean, it's a totally different field. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Are we all agreed?
Yeah, sure. I mean, what does it matter what we think anyway? The guy is he's rolling in it.
No,
he's hanging out with people that we talk about.
I got nothing against
him.
I just think he's a bit overrated as a talk show. That's all. But it's just constructive criticism. I don't really
All right, Roman.
So Gareth, today on the show you've got Peter Bogasein.
Do you want to try that again?
Oh, damn it,
Peter Bogasein.
You should be in Parliament.
What? I've used letters in a coherent sense.
It's Bogosian.
A Bogosian. Well, I'm sorry, I can't pick up nuances like this.
He actually told me you pronounce it like explosion, but with a B. So it's Bogosian.
Bogosian. Okay, so Peter Bogosian.
I can't believe.
What?
Do you think that's funny?
Bogosian.
Bogosian. Yeah, because I'm really familiar with this. Okay, so this guy sounds fascinating. I'm reading his blurb now, but seeing as I butchered his name, I'm not going to butcher who he is either. So tell us a bit more about this.
All right, he's actually a public intellectual. He lectures in Portland, Oregon, at the University of Portland. He has a very interesting philosophical take on things. He's also an outspoken atheist, so he has some very unpopular opinions in certain parts of America, but he has some very interesting things to say about Trump and about politics in the US at the moment, and political correctness and all of that kind of thing. I think he was probably one of the more interesting people I've spoken to in the course of the last year or two. Smart, sharp like a razor, cuts straight through the clutter and the nonsense and makes a lot of sense. I think people will like him. You know, I've got a lot of great feedback from people about Dave Rubin and about Gad Saad, and I think Peter's up there with those guys. You know, some of these people are among the most popular podcasters in America, and that's why I wanted to have them on, so that we could share audiences and I could expose our audience to some of the stuff they're doing and they could expose their audience to some of the stuff that we're doing.
Yeah.
And the more the merrier is the way I see it.
Well, that's another reason why I wanted Roman to come in today, because I've noticed as well, obviously, the Renegade Report's doing so well and the audience is obviously responding really, really well to getting people who are more, let's just say, open of mind, right? You know, you guys have had some similar guests in the last sort of 6 months, and people clearly like this kind of stuff.
Right. I think people just like good ideas. It doesn't matter too much who the person is. I mean, it helps if they've Dave Rubin, he's popular, but his ideas are good as well.
So
they can apply to everyone.
You telling me people want ideas over agendas?
Who would have thought?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there are people who prefer just an ideology. But I think it's very dangerous to just have an ideology, because if you have one ideology and some other ideology comes along, you have to choose. And for some people, this is a painful process. So let's say, for example, you're for women's rights. Then you can't also stand up for the ideas that are embedded in Islam, because it makes you a hypocrite.
Yeah.
There are certain things that go on in places like Somalia and Saudi Arabia that are – to the people who follow those practices, whether it's female genital mutilation or not allowing women to drive or not allowing women to vote or any of that stuff, if you follow those practices, and many people find the justification for those practices straight out of the Quran. So you can say, well, they're literal. They're not all Muslims think that way. Of course not. But that's what the Bible of that religion says.
I think it's less about allowed. Sorry, Gareth.
Hang on. So,
yes,
so you think that, and then you also want to marry into a general idea of kind of multiculturalism and tolerance. You want to bake in the idea of feminism, and the two just don't go together. I mean, I believe men and women are equal. I believe men and women deserve not only the same rights but the same opportunities. And therefore, I can't be in favor of women not being allowed to drive. To me, that's anachronistic and seems capricious and silly.
Yeah, it's not about ideology for me. It's about the purity of ideology. So if you think your ideology is so pure and that everyone else's ideology is poison, I mean, you're essentially a snowflake. That's what that is. The social justice warriors think their ideology is, you know, pure and pristine, and everyone else is poison. You can't be pure in ideology. You can have one. I mean, I have good friends who are communists, but they are very happy to discuss about it, to talk about it. They're not, if you mock communism, I'm going to deplatform you from my life. No, it's about the purity rather than the ideology.
Right. Okay. You've done it in a more articulate sense than I did. Thank you.
Yeah. But
Peter Boghossian talks about this stuff too. And I think it's always also worth, I find it very helpful to talk to people who, I don't know, he spent a huge amount of his life thinking about things, and he's now got to the point where he's distilled those thoughts and those ideas into a language that we can pick up on in our interview, and we can find out what the best ideas that he thinks are going around are and whether or not we want to incorporate them into our lives. Think about it like you're walking through a shopping center or just a grocery store. You got to pick up the produce and check it out before you buy it, right?
Sure.
So you see a nice shiny green apple and you think, that looks good. You check it for bruises. If you like it, you put it in your shopping trolley and you buy it. Mm-hmm. If you want to buy the oatmeal, you check out what the ingredients are. If you think it's fairly pure and it's fairly nice to have, then it's not going to give you the runs, then you buy the oatmeal, and so on. You go through the shop and you choose the now similarly, you've got ideas. There's a marketplace of ideas. You got to choose whatever ideas work for you. And if Mabali and I choose two different ideas, that doesn't mean she's right and I'm wrong. It means we have different tastes in the marketplace of ideas. That's all.
Yeah. Gareth, I'm going to cut you off there because this interview you have had with Peter Boghossian is quite a lengthy one. So full of good ideas. Yeah. It is one of your longer interviews. So travel safe. I hope everything goes well weather-wise and that you'll be back safely.
I'll see you guys. Yeah, I won't be able to talk to you tomorrow morning because I'm obviously going to be on a plane, but we will speak on Monday.
Yep, back in studio Monday. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Mubs. Thanks
for that. Cheers, Gareth.
Before we get into this, Roman, what's happening with the next Renegade Report? Speaking of good ideas, who's your next guest?
Right. Well, yes. Well, a previous one was Johan Norberg. Our next one is a guy called James Dellingpole, who hates eco-mentalists, loves Brexit, and is wants to hunt foxes in Britain. He's what's called a conservative. Ooh. Next Tuesday.
Love it or hate it, Renegade Report definitely does make you think differently. So for more great ideas, here is Gareth's interview with Peter Boghossian. CliffCentral.com.